Oh, I was a little surprised there. I was just away. Just thinking, oh, what a rest of bliss. Christ can fill. And it's loving hearts. Not of our own efforts and doing and kind of striving and straining, but realizing he's looked at us and loved us, and we respond and say, like our brother prayed there, I'll go with this man. We're children of the burning heart. I believe the Lord's here. He delights to presence himself in wonderful ways when his people gather in his name. And I just want to read something from the writings of Tozer. Some of you may be familiar with it. There's certain things I, in my walk with the Lord, I keep circling back to. And this is one of those books, The Pursuit of God. And we'll cut in. He writes, "The moment the Spirit has quickened us to life in regeneration, our whole being senses its kinship to God and leaps up in joyous recognition." Isn't that beautiful? Abba, Father. That is the heavenly birth, without which we cannot see the kingdom of God. And then he goes on to say this: "It is, however, not an end, but an inception, for now begins the glorious pursuit." And listen to this, I love this way of putting it. "The heart's happy exploration of the infinite riches of God." The heart's happy exploration of the infinite riches of God. That is where we begin, I say, but where we stop, no one has yet discovered. For there is in the awful and mysterious depths of the triune God neither limit nor end. And then he quotes from a mystic hymn writer, "Shoreless ocean." That's an interesting concept right there. "Shoreless ocean, who can sound thee? Thine own eternity is round thee. Majesty, majesty divine. To have found God and still to pursue him is the soul's paradox of love. Scorned indeed by the too easily satisfied religionist, but," here we go, "but justified in happy experience by the children of the burning heart." Wonderful. Who likes a treasure hunt? Yeah, feel free to put your hand up. You like a treasure hunt. Anyone else? We've got a couple who like a treasure hunt. Yeah. Yeah, keeping your cards quite close to your chest there, folks. I asked at the wedding yesterday, who likes a mystery? Well, I'm asking you today, who likes a treasure hunt? And we're going to go on a treasure hunt that's going to begin now. And who knows whether it has an end. Don't worry, I'm going to keep within the... I'm going to keep within the parameters. I'm talking, I'm deliberately going to stir, in the name of Jesus, to stir you in your will and personality as redeemed people, that what you know thus far is just a beginning. We are on, as it were, the cusp of what, frankly, in my own happy little experience, is still the undiscovered country. There's a whole realm. And I have to say this, I loved my dear dad. Father's Day, and this is one of his favourite quotes from the scripture, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable riches. Now, I think I've said this before, that doesn't mean we go, oh, well, if it's unsearchable, not going to go there. No, that's deliberately, again, going for our will and our personality as redeemed, loved people of God to say, come on. We heard the other week, come on, there's more. He would take us further. I want to go with this man. Do you? Should we go together? Let's start the hunt, shall we, by his grace. Philippians 1. I'm just going to jump around a little bit with hopefully pops of pure goodness as we traverse the terrain and hunt and dig for treasure. Philippians 1, and we'll just cut in. This is going to frame our thinking as we go through together. Verse 9. In Philippians chapter 1, and Paul writing to these precious people, and so often he's praying as he's writing, he says, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more. Are you hearing it? There it is. That your love may abound. I mean, that's something. More, that's something too. And more. Oh, shoreless ocean, who can sound you? And he goes on to say, in knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ, to the glory and the praise of God. And this phrase here, that you may approve the things that are excellent. There's our theme for the treasure hunt. We are going to go in search this morning of the things that are excellent. Amen. In the Amplified, it says this, learn to recognize and treasure what is excellent. Identifying the best. Distinguishing moral differences. That's quite got a richness to it. If you look in other translations, you get this sense added to it, layered up. Understand what really matters. This is all unpacking. Approving the things that are excellent. And not only identifying what's best, but discerning what's best. Bless the Lord. This, my friends, is the ultimate treasure hunt. Oswald would have called it our utmost for his highest. Is your heart burning as he's with us, as we worship him, as we walk with him on the road? Sometimes, let's be honest, we don't realise he's there with us. We don't always sense it, but we have heartburn regularly in a good way. Oh, praise his wonderful name. And we're together as kind of coals gathered in his name. And there's heat here. In the gathering. And by his Spirit he stirs us together, one with another, in his great name. This is precious. It's so good to be here with you right now. Let's not rush. This moment, we'll never have this particular moment again. Oh, the wonder. David and Laura, where are you? So good to see you. Are you here? Oh, they're out in Inters. Pass that on to them if I don't get to tell them after. So, I wasn't expecting to see them. David and Laura, Worsley. Precious. 2 Peter, let's go there. Peter chapter 1, and again, perhaps for time's sake, and you can run with this. I think as we gather, something that the Lord often does is whet our appetite and stirs hunger for His Word, and what we're to do with that is to go away and get in our closet, so to speak, and dig deeper with Him. So 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm just going to read from verse 17. And you'll know this is Peter's referring to a remarkable event when the Lord was on the earth. And Peter says it this way in his second letter. For he, that is the Lord, received from God the Father honour and glory. So this is the incarnate Christ, you remember. And he's receiving from God the Father honour and glory when such a voice came to him from where? In most translations, it's from the excellent glory. Well, this is our first landing point. Oh, the voice of God comes from the excellent glory. Glory. I mean, run with that. There's enough there to keep you going for a lifetime. The excellent glory. God speaks from this place, from the excellent glory. Oh, praise the Lord. Now, you can absolutely take this and amplify it. Jesus is the Word. So there's a time, I mean, it blows our minds, doesn't it, that there's a time of pre-incarnate Christ, and then there is a moment, oh, praise His wonderful name, where God speaks the Word, who breaks in to this broken, hapless, helpless world, and the light shines. Comes absolutely with such clarity and purpose and glory, and comes in to this dark world. The light shines in the darkness. Now this light is coming, my friends, from the excellent glory. So even this morning, as the Lord is speaking to us, the Word is coming from the excellent glory. It's good to recognize that, acknowledge it, and then, wow, in terms of our receiving and our mixing of faith with the Word that comes, whew, transformation, glory. You remember, I don't know if you do remember, if you don't, I'll just remind you, for about 2 years perhaps, I was in, do you remember? We were in Leviticus, those early chapters of Leviticus. Oh, end of Exodus. The tabernacle is filled with glory. This is the glory of God. The excellent glory of God comes down and tabernacles. This is even Old Covenant. Tabernacles with His people. And all of Leviticus, all the speaking, all of the offerings. You remember the 5? The burnt, the grain, the peace, the sin, the trespass. There's grace for you. A handful of amazing grace right there. It says in Leviticus chapter 1 verse 1. And God spoke to Moses from where? The tabernacle. Which we learn at the end of Exodus was filled with glory. So God speaks from the excellent glory. Seriously, that point just in itself is truly, truly staggering. Chris, steps of hope. When God speaks to those dear people, He's speaking from the excellent glory. He doesn't water it down. I mean, it's truly staggering. This is truly unequal yoking. I don't know how He does it. Blows my mind. And He's here now, moving, speaking, stirring. Excellent glory. And in this passage, I mean, this is the greatest summary of this point, isn't it? And Peter says, oh, what they heard. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He's the one. He's the only. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Saviour of the world. This is my beloved Son, speaks the Father. And this is on earth. From the excellent glory, this word comes. Hear Him. We read elsewhere, don't we? Hear Him. Oh, I love Him with all my heart. I want to love Him more. I want to be somehow having that prayer of Paul for the Philippians answered. I pray that your love would abound more and more. There's more for us to experience, for our happy hearts to explore. Will we go with this man? That was a prophetic word right there. It's an invitation again this morning. He's coming at us. I don't know if you feel a sense of momentum building. He's moving. In the prayer meetings on Thursdays, He's moving. Speaking specifically. Do you remember that? To the Steps of Hope, folks. God's word came. It was from the excellent glory. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise Him. My heart is full. The beloved Son comes from the excellent glory. Hebrews 1. Are you still with me? Are we okay? Just checking in. Sometimes I get a bit carried away. Hebrews chapter 1. And this is continuity. It's a wonderful treasure hunt. There's a sense of, we might almost feel like we're on a river. On this leg of the hunt. God. This is how Hebrews 1:1 starts. God. It's a good way to start. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days, well, if that was then and this is now, I think last days is still fitting. In these last days He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. This is truth, my friends, which the enemy has robbed Western society in particular of. This is truth, and we need to boldly declare it. We need to stand with our brother too as he goes out around the cities proclaiming the truth of God in relation to the fact that God is Creator God. But not just that. Just wonderful words, aren't they? through whom he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory, make the connection with the excellent glory, and see now the Son coming from the Father, breaking in to our world. The incarnation, truly, truly staggering. He is the express image of his person. He said to his disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen Father. Glory. He's the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. A little move there, Irene. Yeah, I can throw some shapes if needed. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And then look what it says. He sat down. Job done. Work finished. He sat down. I love a job. I'll be honest with you. I sit down before the job's finished often. Have a cup of tea, a little bit of fuel, and then get back on it. And my job's channel tell you, they tend to take a while, don't they? I'm in it for the long haul, love. I think I've told you before, I once took 9 years to put up a shelf. It was a bit, to be fair, it was a big shelf. And then we moved house. Just about a year after I'd managed to get this monster on the wall. But listen to this. Oh, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, in the excellent glory. But listen, having become so much better than the angels, and he has by inheritance obtained, here we go folks, landing point two, he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name. That was close. Excellent name. There's an excellent way coming. Oh, praise him. Praise him. From the excellent glory, this is the one who has the excellent name. And you can go to Philippians. You're probably already there in your thinking. Oh, the descent from the excellent glory. We have it tracked there in Philippians. Paul is so detailed as he goes down and down and down again. And humbles himself to the death of the cross. And then, it's like the whole universe is waiting. Those 3 days, and then Resurrection Sunday comes. Oh, glory to God, and fulfillment of prophetic word comes thick and fast, and up from the grave he arose, and he kind of does a pause for our sake, and he has some fish on the beach, and he goes through some walls, and he's speaking peace, and he's restoring, and he's dealing with Peter's anxieties, and he's still going up. He did. And then he ascended to the excellent glory. Now with, oh glory, glory to his most excellent name, Jesus Christ, the name which is above every other name. On earth, in heaven, the excellent name. And listen, my friends, if you're his, you bear his name. So when you're going about your mundane tasks, you hold your head up high, my friend. You bear the name of the most excellent one who came for you from the excellent glory and has the name which is above every other name, high above all principalities and powers. It's not a close contest, this. He is absolutely the preeminent one. Oh, glory. Jesus, the name, high over all. We worship Him. There's no other name. So then it makes sense, doesn't it, that there's no other way. This isn't being closed-minded or bigoted. This is having your mind opened up to see the incomparable beauty and majesty of the One. He's not just one amongst a number. He's altogether different. Oh, glory to Jesus. You might be thinking, Dave, where's the application? I was wondering that myself as I was meditating on this. And the Lord said, just knowing me is what you need. Not to say we don't have specific application. Absolutely, that comes thick and fast. But I think we're supposed to be in the presence this morning and see, perhaps like we've never seen, where He's come from. It's excellent. His name is excellent. And come with me now to Hebrews 8. Move forward. Oh, I want to worship Him. I don't even know whether I'll finish this. But with all my heart, I want to reach out. Absolutely. Absolutely. Be in His presence and receive. And Hebrews 8. Oh, glory to Jesus. Now, verse 1 of Hebrews 8. Now, this is the main point. Wow. You know, we've got into chapter 8 and the writer to the Hebrews is like, now, let's get to the... I mean, you've made a few powerful points, let's be fair, leading up. And now this is the main point of the things we're saying. We have... Can you see the focus? We have such a high priest who's seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty. There it is again. Just drawn to the excellent glory. A minister. And here it comes. You know where we're going, don't you? A minister with a capital M. The true tabernacle, which the Lord erected, and not man. And then you can read 3 down. Just remarkable. Hebrews is such a phenomenal letter. So we've had now, this is the main point in verse 1. Drop your eye down to verse 6, just for our treasure hunt purposes. But now. That's attention grabbing, isn't it? Now. Right now. This moment. But now. This is reality. Receive this truth. He has obtained. So He obtained by inheritance the excellent name. He has obtained a more excellent ministry. Listen, friends. I mean, he is outstanding. He's the one. There's no discrepancy between His name, i.e. nature, name, who He is, and what He does. Absolutely no gap. That thought right there is so liberating, because we're in a world, even the best of the Lord's people, there is gap. You might be thinking, well, what's going on there? We see in part. We have need of the ongoing cleansing and forgiveness, washing. We need to guard against a sense of, I know the Lord really deeply now, So I'm sorted. Because what happens on the back of that is we have this superiority attitude and we distance ourselves. And that in itself is gap. You notice the Holy One, who's come from the excellent glory, is able to hug lepers and have women of apparently disrepute wash his feet with her tears. He's there. The so-called righteous ones are scandalized. They cannot believe he's eating with sinners. Well, none of us would be here if his descent from the excellent glory didn't mean he was able to go not just deep into the darkness, but way beyond, out of his way to reach the unreachable. Oh, what a ministry! Excellent ministry. The beloved Son has an excellent name. The beloved Son has an excellent ministry. You can run with that in your own time too. Listen, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. This is some king. The servant king coming. And with his people, there's moments where you suddenly realise we might have been having a fight about who does what and who's, you know, the greatest. And then we look down. That shouldn't be right. And there he is, washing feet. This is the one who's come from the excellent glory. And he's manifesting the humility of God in a proud, proud world. Oh, it's excellent, isn't it? Seriously. I challenge you, if you're listening in or if you're here and you don't know the Lord, I wouldn't suggest you take too much time doing this, but I challenge you to go looking elsewhere to see if you can come up with anything close. In fact, don't bother with that. I'm telling you, this is it. He's the one. He's the one. And if you've been found by him, or if you've found him, or whichever way, and a combination of the two, whatever that is, you have found the treasure. With big, massive, capital letters. The treasure. Oh, what an excellent ministry. You'll know again, I've been captivated recently by Luke 4. And this is the one, he's coming. You don't have to go there, but you can if you want to. And you'll know the track of this. He's come through the wilderness, redemptive steps every step of the way. Seriously. 40 days, restoring it all that was messed up in the old. Oh, he's absolutely knocking those issues that happened in the garden on the head. Boom, boom, boom. With the word. The word with the word refutes the enemy of our souls and defeats him. Boom, boom, boom. It is said. I love it. The word of God himself, who created the worlds, takes the scripture and speaks it out loud to the enemy. There's a key for us, my friends. Oh, this precious word. It's excellent, by the way. Excellent. It's a library of excellence. Glory to his name. And here he comes. Here he comes. And he's come out of the wilderness and he takes the book. He's in the synagogue. This is real kind of historic narrative. There he is in a time and a place. And he takes the book and he turns. Oh, praise his wonderful name. To Isaiah. He found the place where it was written. And just listen again. This is the excellent ministry, or part of it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Oh, how wonderful. To proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he closed the book. He gave it back to the attendant and he sat down. Wonderful. He purged our sins and he sat down. He proclaims his manifesto here, his excellent ministry in part. There's so much more, isn't there? And he sits down and he says, oh, glory, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. In the name of Jesus. Take that, because the day of grace is not over, my friends. This is his excellent ministry, and he is here to do wonderful things in our lives. Glory to his name. Oh, how wonderful. If the Lord speaks to us, we respond just simply, don't we? And mix it with faith. We don't try and work that up. It's if the Lord speaks to us, as his word comes, there is grace and the ability to respond in simple faith to the one with the excellent name, to the one with the excellent ministry. Oh, praise his wonderful name. And here we go, Irene. You were patient, thank you. Earnestly desire the best gifts, Paul says, and yet I show you a more excellent way. We're not going to linger here. You'll know that's at the end of 1 Corinthians 12. But I want to say this. The beloved Son is the more excellent way. This isn't love, a nice hymn in 1 Corinthians 13, kind of distinct from, or some kind of nice attributes that we... This is a description of the beloved Son. Oh, glory. So here it is, friends. The giver. Paul does say earnestly desire the best gifts, but then he makes somehow a distinction by saying a more excellent way. The giver, and with him, oh, the wonderful diversity of his graces, his gifts, who he is, the unsearchable riches, freely dispersed amongst his people, not just for our own betterment, no, primarily for his glory, but also his purpose is clearly revealed, that he wants a big family. Many sons coming to where? Glory. The scope of this is truly magnificent. And we're going to close in just a moment. I think it'd be good to pray, wouldn't it? Respond to the Lord. And we're coming back to where we started. You probably may have gone here in your mind. What things, says Paul, after giving what, from a human point of view, was a fairly excellent CV. He then in that context says, what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. He'd seen, hadn't he? Absolutely. No contest. He says, yet indeed I also count all things. Not just my CV, all things. Loss. What for? The excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Oh, Paul, come on, my friend.
inspired by the Holy Spirit, lived out in happy exploratory experience. He was a child of the burning heart. And by God's grace, I believe the Lord is wanting to stir our hearts this morning. And as I said, where that will end, this is, have you looked at the horizon lately? Oh, glory, glory, Jesus. Hallelujah. This is the glorious pursuit, the excellence of the knowledge of the beloved Son. This is the heart's happy exploration of the infinite riches of the Godhead. This isn't a call to monastic life, friends. This is a call to the ultimate reality. And for the time that God gives us on the earth, this is a call to be meaningfully engaged in our communities. But as children of the burning heart. And you might be thinking, oh, this is all a bit out there. Well, let's ground it, shall we? We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Why? Oh boy, do we feel it. I know some of you think I'm still young, but you know, where I'm up to, 53 coming up shortly, I'm feeling it, naturally speaking. The clay pot feels a bit more clay than when I was 18. But we have, on purpose, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Why? That the, oh here it is, oh, that the excellence of the power, it's all His glory. He's done this on purpose. His grace is uniquely and specifically outworked in your clay vessel. However frail you may feel, this isn't at odds with His plan. Your weakness isn't a hindrance to His purpose. Oh, praise Him. Dad used to say it's a platform for His power. Sorry, Pete, I've just stood on your foot. Yes. Oh, should we respond to the One? He's here. He's excellent. He's from the excellent glory. He's got an excellent name, an excellent ministry. He wants us to know Him and that revelation. Oh, the excellence of the knowledge of Him. And, oh, grounded in these fragile clay lives of ours is on purpose. So that the excellence of the power may be His. Glory, glory to Jesus. If you want to respond to Him, I don't know what the Lord said to you. But if you want to, I want to give you an opportunity. We've got a little bit of time. You can stand and say, I want to go with this. Let's take that from our brother. I want to go with this man. This man. I want to be, how should we put it, more deeply connected to the ultimate rabbi. I want to know You. Do you? I do. With all my heart. This little heart of mine.